but I guess swamping the whole world in terms of every category. I hope you get another $100,000 raise.
You know what? And I told my wife this last night. I've told several people there's bonus money involved and all that. But I would give up every penny to be number one across the board. It's, yeah. I just want to win.
Sure. That's the old competitive nature.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care about being number two and everybody going, hell, you're number two. I want to be number
one. If you haven't won before, you don't appreciate it. Right. But once you get that in you, just like we're talking about elections, nothing better than to bust your butt. And all of a sudden you look at those polling numbers and like, it's people have responded, especially in our business.
Yeah.
I mean, people have a choice to go to 15, 20 different radio stations or TV, and they choose to hang. Of course, you know, Tommy's been around for so long, had a guy called Ace that had been listening since he was a teenager. But it's nice for him to be able to show what he's been through.
He was only 71.
Well, I mean, Tommy had just a whole cadre of people that followed him from one station to another
station.
And
a different kind of show.
Now, yeah, and a totally different kind of show. And that's... you know, that's a pretty good tribute.
Yeah, it is.
When you totally follow somebody from one venue or from one radio station.
Well, as you know, being in public office, there comes a time when you fall from grace. I had to fall from grace, and my goal was to be the number one guy on the number one station. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I woke up every morning, look in the mirror, you're going to do it. And when it finally gets there, it's like, is that all there is now? You have to be. Then you reach a point of humility and go, "Wow, all these people." And you have to know that.
Sure.
As being, I mean, you could run for re-election again and win. You're at that point in politics now. You've been the Teflon governor for no other. I mean, you really have. Of course, when you look at the people that preceded you, good guys, but they went for bigger things, therefore more of their flaws were exposed, and everybody's got flaws.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, now he says that, that's a good point. I don't think you've had any major bumps.
Let's get you one.
Oh, I've had lots of major bumps. Yeah, I tell the story that 20 years in the Senate and 4 years as Attorney General, I never had an opponent. And so the first race I ever had was the first race for governor. And people said, well, he doesn't know how to run, doesn't know how to raise money, doesn't know how to debate, doesn't know how to stand up, and all this kind of stuff. And so people used to say, he's never had any opposition.
Right.
And I pointed out that Ginger always says, he may not have had an opponent, but he's got a lot of opposition, particularly at home.
You know, I was going to tell you, Tommy, I remember, too, Governor Beebe was always sort of the guy that you heard of. Well, he's wanting to start running for governor. Yep. That's why that was the story.
Yep.
But the fact is, how many years were you a legislator?
I was 20 years in state.
So I remember that when you spent 20 years in state government, you learn a ton.
Ropes. Yeah.
But, so by the time you become governor, I mean, you know everything that you need. Not everything, but you really know how to make things work.
You know, and being in the state senate, that's part-time. I mean, that's not a full-time.
Right.
So you got a real job.
Right.
In my case, I had my own law firm. But whatever you do, whether you're a teacher, professor, radio personality, or whatever, the legislature's part-time. So you can have a real income, you can have a real job, and still be involved. And it was a great learning experience for me that still allowed me to have a job and support my family.
Well, you've had an ace at your side too, DeCampo, who called me the other day, and I see the governor's office. Well, what the hell did I say?
Anytime we get a call, we go, uh-oh.
What the hell did we say? Like, we got called up to the Elvis thing.
Yeah.
And so you talked about what we talked about, and I don't need to go into that, but Matt's been Johnny on the spot and done a great job.
Yeah.
Great job for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do when you leave office, if you're going to need a boy Friday or what you're going to do.
I can't afford him when I leave office.
I don't think, have we had you on the show since all this has happened? Have you talked about all this U of A stuff? I don't know if we've had you on the show since all the Petrino and the John L. Smith. I don't think we have we?
I don't remember talking about it.
I don't think we have. That's been sort of crazy up there, hasn't
it?
Somebody could write a book or make a Friday night HBO movie about what has transgressed from the time that Nolan Richardson was hired until the day after.
It goes to today.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I know your friends, you know, you were heavily involved in the ASU situation, but now you have Jeff Long. You have an out-of-state guy. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with Jeff.
Now,
but
Jeff and I are friends. We play golf. He's a good guy.
But just don't. In other words, you were actually. I mean, it was actually involved with the Gus Malzahn folks were calling you.
Sure.
Fayetteville Dale's a little stickier up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
A little.
I don't inject myself. You know, if they call, they call.
Right, sure.
I got plenty to do without trying to be the chancellor or the president or the athletic director of.
What's your thoughts on? Obviously, you support the U of A and what.
Well, my thoughts are that, what everybody else has been saying. This is a big hire for Jeff, and he needs to take his time and make sure he gets the right guy. Frankly, it's going to be good for whoever comes in, because you don't want to follow Bear Bryant.
Exactly.
you
don't
want to
follow Frank Broyles either, for that matter, although Lou did a pretty good job of that for a while. But coming in right now, I think you're going to get a honeymoon, whoever it is. So I think it's going to be very attractive for somebody. I think it, unlike what some people say, that, oh, nobody's going to want that job, what's happened, all that. I feel exactly the opposite.
Who's the guy named Taggart?
He is the one that Matt Jones likes, I think, at
Western Kentucky.
I've heard a lot of talk about him yesterday.
Willie Taggart.
And then Sonny Dykes' his name at Louisiana Tech. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Well, but it ain't going to happen.
Well, my
favorite's Saban.
let me just say this. I read in the paper and heard on Mattingly's show that they were going to spend $250,000, $300,000 on a consultant to come in. And I immediately, because a consultant's what blew up Magic 105, a consultant's what blew up the Arkansas Gazette, a consultant is what turned two TV stations into losers that were winners forever. Consultants, if they could do the job, they do the job. They wouldn't be consultant toting briefcases around. And my thought on that is, why do you get a consultant when two blocks away, you've got the genius of geniuses when it comes to hiring coaches, and it wouldn't cost you a dime to just walk in and say, what do you think, Frank?
Yeah, I don't think they need a consultant at all, because first of all, it's a pretty close fraternity. Coaching fraternity on 1A football is a pretty close fraternity. I mean, you got 120 schools, so you got 120 head coaches and 120 offensive coordinators, 120 defensive coordinators. That's your pool. And you may have a few pro coaches you might want to look at, but you got a pretty close fraternity with a small pool. You don't need it, it's not like you need to go out and reinvent the wheel and try to mine for who you want to look at. And I bet you if he'd come in and just shuck the corn down, I bet you Jeff Long would tell you right now he's got five or six names that are at the top of his list, and some of them may not be available. But that's the kind of people you want.
Right.
You want somebody who's not looking for a job. You want somebody that you got to go really get.
But you know, but I'm afraid, though, here's what's going to happen, though, Governor. I don't think there's a clear consensus. There's a clear-cut person out there that everybody likes. So I think it's one of those hires. I think part of the fan base is going to go, oh, really? I mean, I just think, and so that doesn't mean he can't be successful, but I think that's going to be part of the transition. That because there's not a clear cut guy there that everybody says that.
The Razorback fans want a rock star, and if you get a rock star and he's a good rock star, that's fine. But
there's not one out there
that are pretenders. Like Mike Leach is a pretender. He's a rock star for 3 or 4 years. He gets big numbers. He's gone.
Wait, you're about to get under
Stephon Campos.
You're about to get on DeCampo, who is a Washington State Cougar.
Are you serious?
He's Washington State. He
graduated
from Washington.
Are you kidding?
He graduated from Washington.
He's gonna be thrilled that Leach is there.
He graduated from Washington.
Well, first of all, Leach ain't coming to Arkansas.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna happen.
I'd get a little bucked up, but he's 2-4 right now. So
yeah, and he's a good coach. I would rather have Matt Jones.
You're talking about Dana Holgerson is what everybody's talking about.
Talking about Mike Leach.
Really?
Yeah.
Has anybody mentioned him?
Yes, they've mentioned him. Have you ever listened to this radio station in the afternoon?
I guess not.
They've called for Tom Landry. They've called for Bear Bryant. They've called for everybody. Dana Holgerson has slipped on my list, by the way.
Yep.
But if you listen to Matt Jones when he was on there and he talked about how great coaches have apples fall off their trees. You look at the old Paul Brown and the apples that fell off that tree. You look at Belichick and the apples that are falling off that tree. There was a group of coaches in Cleveland in 1995, and that tree is so full. He said, go to Saban's tree. Go to one of these trees and get one of the apples that have been around him for 8 or 10 years and look at that guy.
And Kirby Smart is a good example
of
that.
That's
Basil's boy. That's when if there's not a clear-cut head coach out there, look what Will Muschamp's done in 2 years at Florida. Oh, yeah. He, Kirby Smart knows where all the great players are. He's won 3 national championships under Saban. He's seen that. It's done. He may not be a head coach, but he certainly got a resume that looks impressive.
No, Kirby Smart's big time. In fact, you were talking about Malzahn a while ago. you know, before last year's national championship game between LSU and Alabama, ESPN had Malzahn on,
yeah.
and they did segments with film where Malzahn tried to explain how you tried to attack LSU's and Alabama's defense. And he said, first of all, you're better off not playing them. But if you got to play them. And he spent a lot of time talking about Kirby Smart and how Kirby Smart always rolled
yeah.
his coverage to the field side, to the wide side, and made you run to the boundary. And so you knew he was using the boundary as and it was just part of Kirby Smart's.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming. You know what he's going to do. Now he'd mix it up some. You know what he's going to do. And you still couldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have the best athletes. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Listen to the governor talking a little football action there.
X's
and
sports.
O's. Are you going to be at the karaoke this year?
Yeah.
Thursday night this year.
Yeah, and we're in a different venue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're number one. Even the governor knows we've changed venues.
Oh,
how
yeah.
about that?
DeCampo,
what do I need to
know?
You're
automatic on the dial.
Yeah, what,
in the
what do we have? What do we look forward to? You know, years past, you've written songs, sang.
I've done it a couple times, and then sometimes I don't. I just get up there and act a fool with y'all.
That's all right.
Well, thank God that you have us, or it would be you that looked
for exactly.
You can actually carry a tune and play guitar and everything.
It'd be fun to do a combo like a Johnny Cash song with you or something with that little upbeat, you know.
Steve Shields and I are doing Good Hearted Woman.
That's right.
Oh, good.
And getting the hell out of the way and watching the rest of you
I don't know if I'm doing anything special. It's too early.
You're driving down in your vehicle, all of a sudden you decide, hey, boys, I want to write a song. Because they say you sometimes start singing in the vehicle.
Oh, yeah, literally, a couple of years ago, he just walked up to me one day and handed me a sheet of paper with a bunch of scribbling and said, what do you think of this? I'm like, what's this? He goes, it's lyrics for my song I'm going to do this year. Because I'm like, oh, well, we better start working on that then, sir.
I think that was probably the wonder of Tommy.
That's good stuff. Anytime we get the governor singing about you, I don't care what you do or what you say.
And I think we gave Tommy those original
That's right, the lyrics.
Yeah,
yeah. Sure
yeah.
did.
Karen's, Karen's got them mounted.
And I guess I haven't seen you since I judged the International Elvis Impersonator Contest that Cody had won.
Yeah, Cody won. And then you were over there this year, and he did a special performance.
He did a special performance, and the winner was from England. The first time a non-U.S. citizen had won the thing.
Well, you know, you all have to come back. Cody's coming back to the mansion doing a performance in late January.
And Tommy wasn't there at the one the last time.
Oh, Tommy
there.
Needs
yeah.
to come.
Yeah.
Tommy don't go out much at night anymore. Tommy's a real good boy. I don't know if you heard the story. The numbers. I'm playing golf yesterday. I'm playing among my worst games ever because I made aware earlier that the ratings were coming in. I'm like, this is such a pivotal book for me because I wanted to be proved that I could still do it. So I forgot my golf shoes. I get out there and I'm playing in tennis shoes, and these guys are, is he always like this? What's his deal? And Dwayne Duncan looked at him and he goes, ratings come in today, and he wants to be number one, and he wants to be number one bad. And when they came in, I mean, I'm just, ugh. Come over here and look at him. And normally, back in the day, I would run to the nearest pub and celebrate.
Sure.
I went home and I was asleep by 3:30. Well, we got to ask you, we're celebrating October as Rocktober. Let's go back through some of the ones we've already covered. Who's your favorite, both of you, your favorite rock band ever? Band.
Well, you know.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured you'd say the Eagles because we got you on tape singing the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, because they do so many different things.
Yeah, we were talking about, you can, like Fleetwood Mac, you can tell they were a great group because when they broke up, they all had solo careers.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. What about you, DeCampo?
I grew up with so much U2. It's kind of hard for me to. I mean, I love all the good classic
U2's
acts.
U2's in the top five.
Yeah, yeah. But just for what resonates in my head the most when I hear the music, it's them.
Female rock artist or female artist, period. It can be Patsy Cline. It could be anybody.
Oh boy, that's a tough one because Patsy Cline is. She's one of the best.
Yeah, she's way up there.
I really like Patsy Cline. I don't know. I'm probably going to.
Just so you won't embarrass yourself, I actually said Karen Carpenter.
No, I don't like Karen Carpenter. I'm sorry, Tom. You and I.
You're not number one there. Shut up.
You and I have a lot of taste that's a lot alike, but it stops with Karen Carpenter.
You're on my show today.
And I am embarrassed about you liking Karen Carpenter.
Well, we had to do the best male today, and I had to coreless Elvis because of him, and my coreless was Barry Manilow because I like Barry Manilow.
I do, too. And he's a chick guy. I mean, you know, all the chicks like his music.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a quick story about Barry Manilow. My first year in the Senate, You know, Ginger didn't care about me running for the Senate, and it wouldn't make any difference one way or the other. And so she said the only thing she wanted out of this gig was good tickets to Barry Manilow, who was coming to Coliseum. And so old Maury Smith, who was Clinton's chief of staff at the time and was also chairman out there of the
Barton.
I talked to him, and he got his front row tickets. He called me. He said, I got those Barney Marvelo tickets.
Barney Marvelo. And here he is now on the bus, Barney Marvelo.
You got to play Even Now.
Even Now is great stuff. It's great stuff. I'm with you all the way. Of course, I'm a closet. I've come out of the closet on Barry Manilow, though. I just throw it out there, and that's it. That's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You probably like Celine Dion, too, don't you?
Nope. Not a big Celine Dion. I know I should.
I like her.
I don't know why I should like Barry Manilow, but I do. Even
now. You still have to give your. Did you give a female yet?
No, I ain't done. I hadn't done either one of them.
Because
yet.
He busted on you for Karen Carpenter, so he never.
I'd probably go with Celine Dion.
Okay. All right, and you're male. Oh, you're female. Sorry, Matt.
Can I go with both the Wilson sisters? Can I go with Hart and count them both?
Run that by Justin Acree. He hates them with a passion.
Well, you hate Hart. I love Hart.
I love him. Yeah, good Seattle Bulls.
It's like that. Some guy called me one time and said, I hate Faith Hill. And I'm like, how can you, of all the problems in the world, the Bin Ladens of the world, how can you actually come out and say, I hate Faith Hill? What's she ever done to you? All right, female.
You mean male.
Male. Yeah. Hey.
It'd be hard to beat the king.
You got to Corliss him because he's in.
Oh, okay. We can't count Elvis. Huh?
Yeah, it's a given. He's by far the greatest.
Like
of all
when
time.
We did the groups, we Corliss the Beatles because they're in.
Yeah,
they're obvious.
Have to be a single. Or can it be
I would think artist.
I thought we might go. You might go lean country. Maybe if you had to pick.
You know, I like Conway Twitty, but I'm not going to put them up there because Roy Orbison.
Oh, that's good. Somebody mentioned that. You could have thrown out Johnny Cash or Glenn Campbell.
Roy Orbison had the greatest octave range of anybody.
He did.
I don't know anybody that had a greater range than Roy Orbison.
I have often argued with Basil. Elvis was 10 times a better performer, but I think Roy Orbison had more range.
He did. Oh, yeah, he did.
Governor, don't let him beat you down like that. Don't let him twist your arm.
I never twist the governor's arm. He's been too good to me.
No, I picked Roy Orbison.
Yeah. He is good. He's no Elvis.
Oh, see, listen to that guy.
He's got more range than Elvis.
Elvis can do this.
He can't do it.
Elvis was the king.
Yes.
But Roy Orbison had greater range.
And Roy Orbison was one of the ugliest men to ever walk the planet Earth.
Face for radio.
Exactly. I can relate to that, believe it or not. What do you got, Matt?
For male artist. And if it could be in a group.
And by the way, we've got a contest going on. If you can guess mine or RJ's now, they already guessed him. Yeah. He picked Sam Cooke as his mystery artist.
Sam Cooke.
So you can go anywhere. Yeah. But Elvis cannot do this. He can't do it.
No. It's over.
He's the king.
It's over.
Well, you know, Elvis has got range. It's you don't over. Give him credit. He's got songs with range.
No,
you know it.
Everybody gives him credit.
Of course he does.
But you think range. You actually think he had good movies, and that's where you lose credibility.
No, Bass, I'm on your side about Elvis being the best.
Yes.
I'm on your side.
You're right. His top side is a little bit higher than Elvis usually goes.
He did not. Elvis does not have the range. Now, he didn't do falsetto either.
And this is falsetto for the most part.
But he's got the octave range, and then he adds falsetto on top of that.
Right.
Elvis can't do that. And Elvis is the king. Greatest solo performer ever to walk the planet is Elvis Presley. Would you concede on a few things? My God, man, you can't be number one in every demo.
I'm not going to argue. That's fine. Now, listen, I like it. I mean, I like Roy Orbison.
And Play Against the Wind by Bob Seger, and he goes, Elvis did better.
Well, I'm a big Elvis guy. So.
I think most people are. You ask Elvis or the Beatles around here, and it's probably 70% Elvis, but you got to pick an artist. You got Bob Seger, you got Tom Petty.
Yeah, Seger's good.
And since you knocked Elvis out of the running, I
picked
Roy
Orbison.
So now it's up to Matt.
I'm just distracted by this picture in my mind of this path that's forming that ends with the three of you singing Barry Manilow at Christmas karaoke.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
I don't know, but the chicks may come.
Yeah, that's true. They may show up. Give me Johnny Cash, but only because Freddie Mercury never had a solo career.
Listen, we've been
together. Freddie Mercury.
We've been talking up Freddie Mercury. He's about a range.
Oh.
But not people. Are so, yeah. You know, if you go back and listen to some of his stuff.
Yeah.
Little did we know.
I'm not going
to say that. Unique at the time, but great voice for sure.
Great showman.
And a great showman, that's right.
And Johnny's from Arkansas, so you got to give Johnny some love.
And Conway.
You know, I was going to ask you, by the way.
And my mystery artist, which we haven't thrown out.
I was going to say.
He's from Arkansas?
Well, yeah.
Glenn Campbell?
I was going to say, you got it. Did you enjoy your time around Glenn Campbell in the concert?
Yeah.
Was that great? Now, let me tell you something. My mother has the same affliction he does. And I feel that Glenn Campbell, for that hour, is probably the best hour of his day in his mind, because he's not having to deal with people. He's not having to remember anything, because they can remember stuff from 20 years back.
Sure.
And he gets up on that stage, and 85% of the time, he's having a good time. It's all familiar turf to him. He doesn't have to go out and talk to you or talk to Baz or talk to anybody, because that's when they mess up.
Well, you mentioned your mother's suffering from the same affliction. Alzheimer's is really more deadly on the family and on the loved ones than the actual person who has it, because the actual person who is suffering from it, certainly they're suffering from it, but the people around them who
have to react.
It's a mean disease,
like cancer,
for both the victim, but it's really a mean disease on the family.
Pretty amazing, though, the way he could get up there and play the guitar, though.
When he would just break off into those good guitar solo riffs,
yeah.
It was like, there's nothing wrong with me.
And if you notice, though, the band would start playing.
They would follow. Follow his lead.
The band would start it.
Yeah,
because sometimes he'd take off.
Oh, right. Once they got
he'd
started,
take
yeah.
off on a discussion, and it was time for
that's
another
true,
song.
That's true.
So the band, and then he just. Yeah.
I know he was
right
having
in.
Trouble with his hair that night. and I thought they were talented too. His daughter. And she's more or less is the one that walks him around,
sure.
talks
nudges him
around.
When he goes off track.
Yeah, I've heard more people talk about how touched they were by that performance. How that positively affected them, and the warmth that they felt about that, and how pleasantly surprised they were to your point, Tommy, about how he just took off and was the same old Glenn Campbell once he started picking a guitar and once he started singing. It was really heartwarming, and it was heartwarming to see all the Arkansans that really came out to honor him.
You could feel it too. You could feel it in the auditorium.
Yeah.
Everybody was rooting and cheering him on. You could tell he could struggle a couple of times. I thought that was a great feel too.
And when he wouldn't mess up, instead of you hearing a, you would hear people kind of laughing a little bit. He know, there was a couple lines, a couple of the songs where he was like, I know I got it, you know. I know what's wrong with me and laugh along, because that's just the way it is.
Sure.
And I can't respect him that much more after that.
Hey, y'all not do commercials anymore on this station?
Why, you looking for a commercial break so you can scat? Actually, we made a big hole. We do appreciate you coming up so much. It's always a treasure, a pleasure to have you on the show, and as we celebrate
today.
Well,
you're my guys. I mean, you know, I've been with y'all forever and ever. You've been with me forever and ever.
All goes back to the train tracks, pal.
By the way. Yeah. You remember that.
Fall of 2003, by the way, is when that was.
Yeah. Next month, we want to designate as Arkansas Heroes Month.
Sure.
And salute, and we need your help just a little bit on this, and we'll run with the ball because we want to there have been so many, and I'm not talking about just the fallen heroes of wars, because there have been too many of them. There have been too many. But policemen.
Sure.
Firefighters. When you look at the backgrounds of some of these people and what they're paid, they're heroes.
Yeah.
And we need your blessing on
sure,
this.
Sure, sure. Just holler at us. Tell us what you want me to do, and we'll try to coordinate.
It'll be a fun month in November.
I found that's the best way to get to the governor, talk about heroes, and put him on the spot on the radio.
All right, guys. Congratulations on the ratings. That's a big deal, and y'all are to be congratulated.
Thank you for being a part of it.
Absolutely.
You know how far I've fallen? I'm going to take one hell of a nap this afternoon. Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks, guys, for coming up.